In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. What a wonderful congregation. You must have heard I was going to be here. Just kidding, folks. I know you're here to worship Him, to adore Him, to honor Him, to ascribe to Him all power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and might, because He alone is worthy. Because He alone has loved us. I'm not preaching now, folks. I'm just talking. He alone has loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. It's so good to see all of you, your friends, your family members. I know you could be at home with your feet propped up, eating fruitcake and drinking punch. I hope it would just be punch without anything punching it. Is that all right, brother? Yeah. Okay. But to be in God's house on Christmas Eve, what a wonderful time. What better time can there be than to observe the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemning sin in the flesh. He's with us tonight, and I'm glad that we can sing about Him. Wasn't that a marvelous offering by the choir? You folks did quite well yourselves. Even in the dark, you sang quite well. Some of you did better than you did in the light, because it didn't matter who saw you open your mouth so wide. But what a joy, what a joy, what a joy it is to be in God's house. Now, I want you to open your... Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about tonight in the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. John's Gospel soars beyond the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Not that it's more inspired than those are, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm glad it's settled right here in this wonderful book that we call the Bible. 66 books, 1,189 chapters, more than 34,000 verses, more than 700,000 words, and every one of them is from God. Every one of them is God-breathed. Within this ample volume lies the mystery of mysteries. Happiest they of human race, to whom their God hath given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they ne'er been born that read to doubt or read to scorn. We search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful, from graven stone and written scroll and all old flower fields of the soul. And weary seekers of the best, we come home laden from our quest, to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me who I am. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me where I'm bound. Thank God for the Bible. It makes the way so plain. Thank God for the Bible. It exalts the Savior's name. I'm going to read from this wonderful book, John chapter 1. I shall read verse 1, verse 2, and verse 14. I read them after we pray. Father, how grateful we are for this wonderful congregation that's come out to hear your word, to worship your son, to honor him tonight, whose birth we celebrate. We know his beginning was not in the manger in Bethlehem, because there never was a time when he wasn't, but that was the time that he became one of us. We thank thee for the birth of our Lord Jesus. We thank thee for his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his intercession, and his coming again. Now help us, I pray, in these moments to see who Christ is and what his birth means to us. And there be those without the Savior tonight. May they come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Some may want to join and unite with this fellowship and this church. May they come. Others want to come and just say, thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you, God, for sending your son. Thank you, God, for giving him to die for us, that we may live for thee. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. John chapter 1, verse number 1. You heard it a while ago. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Ladies and gentlemen, history is replete with men who claim to have come from God. Buddha, Confucius, Mohammed, plus scores and scores of others. Now, if you'll stay tuned, I'll show you the difference between these imposters and the true man, Jesus Christ. Amen. Only the birth of Jesus was predated in the inspired Word of God. In fact, his birth certificate was written more than 7 years before he was born. Can you imagine that? When was your birth certificate written? His was written 750 years before he was born. And it's recorded in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Only the birthplace of Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament. Not Buddha, not Confucius, not Mohammed. Jesus' birthplace, Micah 5:2 says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. God did not tell the birthplace, I repeat, of Buddha or Confucius or Mohammed, nor did he tell who their mother would be, or how they would be born, or how they would live, or how they would die. By the way, they were born to live. Jesus was born to die. That's what he said. I give you his word on it. I quote him. For this cause came I into the world. He said, I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And thank God he did take it again. On the morning of the third day, he came forth from the tomb, shouting triumphantly, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. Amen. Only Jesus divided history into two very distinct periods of time, B.C., before Christ, and A.D., Anno Domini, or in the year of our Lord. Today, written properly by date, would be Sunday, December the 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. By the way, every time a check is written, every time a newspaper is printed, every time a legal translation is made, every time a baby is born or a man dies, the date attached to these events testify to the fact that there was a time when Jesus made his debut into human society as the God-man, very God and very man, God the Son and Son of God, just as much God as though he'd never become man, and just as much man as though he had never become God. Now, there were senators and Caesars in Rome. There were princes and priests in Jerusalem. There were philosophers and poets in Athens. But isn't it amazing that God chose to announce the birth of his son to lowly shepherds in Bethlehem? Aren't you glad that God identifies with the lowly, with the rebel, the sinner, you and me, like we are? We don't wait until we get better. He comes where we are. And by the way, he came to where we were because we couldn't go to where he is. And thank God the ladder has been made to heaven in the shape of a cross. And the way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. Little wonder that Paul wrote in Romans 11, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his ways and his... How unsearchable are his doings and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him that it should be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. I've entitled this message, What Does the Birth of Jesus Mean to Us? I will answer that question in two installments. Installment number one. The birth of Jesus means that holy God came to dwell among sinful men. With one stroke of the divinely inspired pen, the Apostle John takes us out of the realm of time and into the realm of eternity, away from earth and mundane things to heaven and holy things. He declares that the Most High became the Most Nigh, and the Creator became the creature. In these words, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Listen to Matthew's account in the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. Now all these things were written to fulfill that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us in the person of his Son. The God of creation. Can you imagine that? The God of creation with us. The God of the covenant with us. The God of the consummation of all things with us. Frail, fragile, finite human beings that we are. Someone asked, well, why was he with us? I'm glad you asked. You got questions, we got answers. Right out of the inspired encyclopedia of God's knowledge. Are you ready for it? He came first to save us. That's what he said. I'm giving you his word for it. I'm quoting Jesus. You know by now I love to quote Jesus. He said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He comes to secure us. I give you his word again. I'm quoting Jesus. John chapter 10 at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never, never, never perish. Amen. My Father which gave them me is greater than all and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. This is what Christmas is all about. This is what Christmas and the birth of Jesus mean to us. God wrapped himself in human flesh and became one of us that we might become one with him. The second installment, the birth of Jesus means that we have an ever-living, ever-loving Savior. We heard from Dr. Luke this morning, but I'm going to call him back to the witness stand tonight. From Luke chapter 2. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Now watch this. Because there was no room for them in the inn. Can you imagine? Push the pause button for a second. Verse 7 contains 10 of the saddest words in all the Bible. Because there was no room for them in the inn. Ironically, there was room for the Roman soldiers. There was room for the Jewish priest. There was room for the elite citizens from all over the known world. But for the baby Jesus who made them, there was no room. Luke continues, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Notice the angel said to the shepherds that the good tidings, now watch this, and the great joy were to all people. That means that all men are savable. Peter wrote it in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here's the good news, my friend. All men can be saved. And that includes you. Regardless of your name or nationality, your state or station, your class or color, your condition or credentials, the blood of Jesus Christ can make the vilest sinner clean. John put it this way in his 1 John chapter 2 at verse 2. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only. Now watch it. But for the sins of the whole world. That is the whole inhabited earth. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was born a Savior in a cave. He died as a Savior on a cross. He was buried a Savior in a tomb. He arose from the dead a Savior to die no more. He lives forever a Savior in the Father's house above. And ladies and gentlemen, He's still in the saving business. Wherefore, He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For as much as ye know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. William Cooper penned these immortal words: there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. The dying thief rejoiced to see that day, that cross in his, that blood in his day. And now may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. By the way, Jesus does not wrap us in a tattered garment of fig leaves. He clothes us in spotless robes of righteousness. Let the sinner go to the doctor. All he could ever hope to be is a healthy sinner. Let the sinner go to the banker, and all he can ever hope to be is a wealthy sinner. Let the sinner go to the educator, and all he can ever hope to be is an educated sinner. Let the sinner go to the scientist, and all he can ever hope to be is a scientific sinner. Let the sinner go to the sociologist, and all he can ever hope to be is a sociological sinner. Let the sinner go to the economist, and all he can ever hope to be is an economical sinner. Let the sinner go to the philosopher, and all he can ever hope to be is a philosophical sinner. Let the sinner go to the psychologist, all he can ever hope to be is a psychological sinner. Let the sinner go to the psychiatrist. All he can ever hope to be is an adjusted sinner. But let the sinner go to Jesus, and he becomes a saved sinner. We have heard the joyful sound: Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around: Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. One man's testimony went like this. He said, it took me 40 years to learn three things. Number one, that I could not do anything to save myself. Number two, God did not expect me to do anything. And number three, Jesus had done it all. Praise God, ladies and gentlemen, for you, Jesus did it all at Calvary, where he paid your sin debt. And I promise you, are you listening? He did not make a down payment on your sin debt and expect you to pay out the balance in installments. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. This is what the birth of Jesus means to us. Salvation today, heaven tomorrow. Would you listen carefully to what I'm going to give you next? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Would you stand with your heads bowed quietly, please? Now the altar is open. The invitation has already begun. While every head is bowed, nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to drag you down the aisle. Nobody's going to make you make any kind of testimony, sign a card, make a pledge. But I want to ask you this question. Now, this is the question of all questions. Are you ready for it? If you were to die tonight, and who says you won't? If you were to die tonight, before the clock strikes 12, and Christmas Day begins, if you were to die tonight, do you know that you have passed from death unto life? Do you know that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know and can you testify that you have been born again? If not, would you be so kind? And again, nobody's going to drag you down the aisle or put you on the spot or call out your name. Just want to help you. Would you just, with every head bowed, lift up your hand and say, preacher, I don't have that assurance. I don't know that if I died tonight, I would go to heaven. Anyone like that all over this vast audience? Am I to take it that every person here is saved? Let me tell you this as kindly, as compassionately, as lovingly as I possibly can. If you leave this place and die without Christ, you are going to hell. That's what Jesus said. If you die in your sins, where I am, there you cannot come. I'm going to pray. Before I do, let me extend the invitation to this point. If you're here and you want to join this church, we wait for you to come. We welcome you. Maybe there's some of you tonight who would like to just step out and spend a moment at an altar prayer thanking God that Jesus came into the world to save sinners like you. Would you like to step out and just thank God for that on this Christmas Eve night? We're going to pray. Brother Johnson's going to sing. Invitation will continue. Father, we thank you tonight for what you've already done, what you're going to do. Bless those that are coming. Some want to just come and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you on this Christmas Eve, dear Lord, that we celebrate the birth of your Son, why he came, and what it means to us. May it be so in Jesus' name. While our heads are still bowed, Brother Johnson leads the invitation appeal. Who will be next to come right now while we sing?